College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
We love the 1980s wrestling era, when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and the family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Hello and welcome. I am your host, JP John Posh from the Two Man Power Trip. Of course, joining me is the former WCW and ECW World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in history of the business, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the Devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
Good, JP. How are you, my friend?
Doing good, doing good. Have you been keeping up with the latest in the WWE as far as the booking is concerned?
It's the best I've ever seen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You say that like a surprise. I've been following wrestling since I was probably 7 years old, 6 years old. Can you say in your life you've seen a better angle than the Bloodline?
I know there's a couple I might like.
Okay, just, tell me more. Tell me.
NWO, Hogan versus Sting, and the NWO, of course.
I'm talking a long-term angle. NWO?
NWO, yep.
I was part of that, right?
Yes.
We killed every babyface but Sting. Right?
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe, or did we slaughter every baby face?
Well, you
two
had Goldberg,
guys
too.
Held off. Two guys held off the whole WCW baby face side and heel side with two ball bats. Right?
Right. So you booked it, though. So you're ripping your own booking then.
Yeah. It was done at the time where I think heat had been needed. But they were smart enough to make baby faces along the way, which is very difficult to do, to get that much heat. They made Sammy, right?
Yep.
They made Kevin. I mean, Cody. They made a host of baby faces. So that's why I say this is the greatest booking I've ever seen.
They and Triple did, H?
Yeah.
And it's Triple H, right?
Yeah, yeah. I would imagine, who would you think of me if it wasn't him?
Well, we had Vince for 20 years, and we know how bad they were for like 20 years. So you got to give Triple H a lot of credit because, I mean, they stunk for a while.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I think he's given the leeway for people to have ideas that he's approachable.
Do you have
Does
a
that
lot
make
of
sense?
Yeah. Do you have a lot of like dealings with him as far as I know he was in WCW, we'll get into that in a second, but do you ever have a lot of dealings with him or speak to him a lot? I know you said maybe it was only a few times.
Yeah, just a few. I mean, I talked to him when he was in WCW, but I mean he was brand new. He was green. Very nice.
What was your thoughts the last time? I think you said it was 2002-ish. What was your thoughts then?
Well, I didn't talk to him except to say hello, and they invited me to a WrestleMania in Miami. What year was that?
Oof, I don't even remember what year that was. God, that was a while ago.
Yeah, I was just to say hello, how are you doing? Glad to have you, blah, blah, blah.
Do you think with, you know, what he's doing right now and everything, is that because there is no Vince?
Not knowing and not seeing it, but it seems to me it's finally his turn and there's no Vince looking over his shoulder and doesn't seem to ever going to be again.
It seems like when you look at like the Vince booking, he would always change his mind, right? You always hear the stories of kind of like, oh, I don't like this week. Oh, but Vince, that doesn't make sense. What we did last week. I don't see that much with Triple H. I don't know if you've noticed like a lot more continuity with H.
Oh, yeah. He's got a pattern that he's following and it makes sense. That's why his booking is so good. It makes sense.
Do you think, like you said, it's the best, right? You even like it better than Austin McMahon. You like it better than the NWO. Do you think that you need to end it?
What?
Do you think you need to end it, though, like the bloodline, okay, before it gets to the point?
Okay. I saw a list of what Roman Reigns has done 8 times. This is his 8th main event to WrestleMania.
Yep.
His merchandise is through the roof. Drew the biggest houses in the history of WWF, right? E. Why would you get rid of it? It's strong and huge, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. But so was the NWO. So was the NWO. Like, yeah, you have to know when to end it, though, right?
Well, there's a difference. How many guys are still in the bloodline?
Right now, there's 4.
What was their word originally? 4.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Do you see Bloodline t-shirts on anybody else?
Nope.
What did the NWO have? They had
too many members. Yep.
And too many members. Why would you get rid of something that's drawn all that money? It's funny that we as wrestling fans, when something gets over, we want to end it. I don't understand that. The Rock has come in and breathed new life into this thing. If he turns babyface and goes with Cody, they'll draw nothing but money. If he stays heel and wrestles Cody at SummerSlam, they're going to have a huge. Here's the thing. If you had a manager for 3 years, brought you the world, won the World Series, mostly in a four-game sweep, sold out, like the Red Sox did 1 year, sold a couple of years, sold out the stadium, every seat for 3 years, had the biggest amount of merchandise ever sold, would you break up the team?
I would not.
Okay, nope. So why are we in such a rush to get rid of the bloodline?
I'm not. I'm just curious if, like, an end game before it gets that NWO level where it gets too much. You know what I mean?
They have. Well, how is it too much? I don't understand how people come up with it's too much. Didn't they sell $22 million for WrestleMania the first day?
Oh, yeah.
Is that an indication that the people are tired of it?
No, I don't think they are.
Okay, so where do we come up with this idea? And you're not, and I'm not saying it's you. I mean, a lot of people that I admire think the same thing. But if you're drawing the biggest amount you ever had, I think Hunter's so smart that he has a way it's going to evaporate, but it ain't going to evaporate at WrestleMania.
I hope not.
Well, where would you go? Where would you go?
That's the thing. I don't know. That's why I would have Roman win at Mania. I don't know about you, but I would have him win to keep this thing going.
Here's the thing, and I'm a heel guy. I don't know if Cody can take another loss at WrestleMania, especially with his mother involved. They've made her, you know, a dusty surrogate, and rightfully so. I would like the finish to be Cody goes over by maybe The Rock, Cena, and Austin come out and cause a commotion, and Cody slips over, Roman gets on his ass, Mama Rhodes jumps on Roman not knowing who's on his back, fly mares him over, she hits her head in the concrete and scurried out in a stretcher. Roman can say, I didn't know it, who it was. I certainly wouldn't have done it. Then you got a real, real story to come back in. And then you could come back. But I think when Roman gets defeated, we're going to see Roman go away and rest for a while.
He did say he'll be gone if he loses. He said, I'm gone if I lose.
Well, here's the thing. We all forget he had leukemia twice. I mean, he's conquered up. And while he's been this hugely successful, he's conquered a very hard disease. You know, I think he's done an amazing, amazing job. I think that if he does lose and business goes down anyway, people are going to say they should have continued on. The same people that are saying Cody has to win, just like last year when they said he has to win. I think you and I were the two people that say, no, he can't lose, Roman. Right. You're saying that he can't lose? You may be right, but I think he just signed an extension, Cody, right?
Yep.
Does that mean they've made a deal this way to say, Cody, we're going to beat you at WrestleMania, we're going to give you X amount of money, and then you're going to get it, but let's let's be business and let's drag this out as long as we possibly can until it start to slip? Or did they do this in saying, we're behind you 1,000%. We're going to put the belt on you. Roman's going to take a sabbatical for a while. I don't know.
Yeah, tough to call, tough to say. I'm just thinking, like, you have to have an ending for it, just like a good movie. Yeah, you kind of need a good ending for it, but I don't think the ending is ready yet. Like, I feel like we got to wait a while for that, because I feel like if it's so hot and Roman's doing so good and he's making so much business, if you make a change now, you might be headed down. I don't think you'd be headed up, because I don't think there is any more way more to go further up. I feel like you got to just maintain with Roman, and then when it does slip, then he loses.
Yeah, I personally think they always mention the elders, right?
Yep.
You have that. You have so much. I mean, per capita, there's more, probably more Samoans and island guys in the Hall of Fame than any other nationality or race. Right? Wouldn't you think that?
I would think with all those guys, yeah.
It's like in football, 15%, I think it's, I know I don't have the figures right, so no one quote me on this. I think the chances to play American football, if you're in the United States, are 1 in 3,000. If you're Samoan, it's 1 in 15.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Because how small the populace is there.
Right, and they mostly do that, and they mostly move over to that. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, yeah. So
when you look at Triple H and just his booking and just what he's able to do, do you think that's kind of like going all the way back to where he's from? Like, okay, he started very early 90s, 92, he's wrestling. But is it because of the Killer Kowalski school, or is
Absolutely.
It just – oh, it is, okay. That's because I'm trying to think, like, some guys have it, some guys don't. He's very old school in temperament, but when you go all the way back, do you kind of attribute it to him being old school and coming up with Kowalski?
Yeah, I think that he was a wrestling fan. He saw how things were done in the past. He's brought old school into the present. He's gotten rid of the bullshit that the old school had, you know, some moves and... Now, except for the, they did this angle and had it red hot with two slaps. Think about that. Their interviews became more like UFC interviews, didn't they?
Yeah.
When they're head to head against each other, there was no wrestling. I'll kill you and your dog too. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, and we got this thing where, we all say, when we ask a question, why did they do something? Well, it's just wrestling. There's none of that in their angle. Even the Easter eggs they laid, you know, Austin and this, try to say that there were no Easter eggs. That's bullshit. A guy like Hunter doesn't do that by accident. And then right. When Rock is beating Cody, they say cut, and he Rock starts using the F word and goes on to a great interview like, this ain't bullshit. Blur the lines. They're doing things that are remarkably well that we haven't seen before. That's why I say this is the greatest angle I've ever seen, because they're doing things that haven't been done.
When you go all the way back with H, with Kowalski and with his training and him coming up, I mean, obviously, he's an old school guy to the bone, but you do have to mix in old school with new school, right? Like, booking wise in your mind, like, can't just all be old school, can't all be new school.
You can't have it all. No, yeah, absolutely. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you can't have old school bullshit. But you can pull some of the shit that worked for long. See, I think where he's very good at it, angles used to last a long time in territories if they got over. I mean, it wasn't uncommon for an angle the last 2 years in a small territory. We were back in the same towns every week. I mean, in Orlando, they would draw 16 to 20,000 people a month. Think of that, when there was no popular, and the building wasn't in Orlando, it was in Christmas, Florida, out in the boondocks.
Yep.
But they ran, you know, the angles for a year, year and a half, and they drew. So I think that's where Hunter's strong suit is, that he realizes an angle that is this good can run for as long as they feel. To me, it's as long as Seinfeld went on out on top, right?
Big time, yeah.
Do you remember the last episode?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know what Larry David's getting in the last episode?
No, well, it was got to be in the millions here.
No. Do you know what's the premise of Larry David's
last Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yeah. You know what it is?
What, he's going to possibly go to jail in Atlanta just like Seinfeld?
Exactly. What will that bring? They can have a reunion.
Right. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you went to the hottest comedy acts of all times with the same finish. Don't tell me you won't see them in the jail together, bumping into one another.
Right, they're definitely teasing something, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's where Hunter brings the new look in. I mean, he's done an incredible job. Plus, he has guys that he can call and ask. Hunter can call and ask Heartbreak Kid. He can call Kevin Nash. He can call Sean Waltman. He can call Undertaker. He can listen to Cody. He can listen to Roman. Certainly can listen to Paul Heyman. The Rock. He has an enormous amount of talent that really know what they're doing, besides being great performers.
When you go all the way back, like I said, with Killer Kowalski, that's obviously where Triple H started. That's really, you know, his base, his training. He even was in Kowalski's IWF promotion, but he was Terra Ryzen at that point. Is that when you kind of saw him and got an eye on him and kind of got basically, hey, the gist of, hey, I think I could do something with this guy? Or who brought him into WCW?
I actually can't remember who brought him in. I didn't see him as terrorizing. He came in, but I saw that he had talent. He looked terrific. We kind of gave him a pretty squirrely gimmick, you know what I mean? And here's the thing about, very few people know the history of the business, right? When it goes back to the 50s and 60s, right? Would you say?
Yep.
Killer Kowalski was one of the greatest heels of all time moneymakers. He was on top everywhere. You know, when he broke Buddy Rogers' leg, they used to build him as a climate to the NWA title, actually saying that he had claim to that title. He was the world champion in Boston. He was the world champion in Montreal, Toronto, world champion in Australia. This guy always worked on top, drew a lot of money. So I'm sure, and I happened to ride a lot when I was in for senior with Kowalski, and he told me great stories about how they had different angles. And when I was a kid, Kowalski was the champion in Boston. I mean, I was real young, but I remember him on TV. So I'm sure that he laid down the foundation of the history of the business football. And that's what he's doing so well. That's what he's doing so well, blending, taking the very best of the old school stuff and making it new again.
When you look at Terror Rising, obviously he doesn't stay Terror Rising for long. He becomes Jean-Paul Levesque. Is that you changing him to the British gimmick and him becoming Jean-Paul Levesque? And did you not like the Terror Rising name and gimmick?
I didn't like the name, but I think there was a, for a while we had some kind of North Tower study group. I think they're the ones that came up with Jean-Paul Levesque. I think they did it because, you know, he's French background, right? He's French, I would assume, without knowing for sure, that he has, his ethnicity would be French-Canadian. He lives in New Hampshire, so stone throw away from Quebec. He has a French name, so I'm assuming, you know what I mean? So I'm sure when those panel of geniuses were looking at names for people, they said, oh, this is the perfect name.
Did you see a lot of potential in him? Not really as far as giving him a new name, but just his wrestling ability and what he could do.
Yeah, he looked like $1 million. He looked like an athlete. That gives him, that gives him a heads up on most guys. And then when he hooked up with, you know, the Click, he learned a lot about business. And you don't hear too much negative things about him, even before he was boss. So, I mean, it's hard to go in a group of guys like the Click, and everybody's knocking all of them except you. You know what I mean? So that got to say something about him.
When you look at Triple H or Jean-Paul Levesque at this point, he wasn't really in WCW for that long. I know there was the joke that Alex Wright taught him how to work because, you know, they had that little brief feud and Starrcade and Alex Wright peed him and stuff like that. Did you ever think that in your mind, like, hey, this young kid is really teaching Triple H how to work? I mean, was that ever a thought, or did you think maybe the other way around?
I never thought that at all. Never. Put them together it's that all the bullshit you hear, you know what I mean? I heard just recently on my podcast with Conrad that people said that Jim Barnett had something to do with Alex Wright because there was sexual innuendos there. That's such bullshit. How do these people come up with this shit?
That is because
it comes out of their mouth, it's true.
Very weird.
Yeah, and then saying that they were put together for Wright to teach Hunter how to work. Alex was a very good worker. I think we put them together basically because they were young guys, looked good, and they would have a very, very good match on the pay-per-view. So I just can't stand these people that shoot shit out of their mouth because they're sleuths. You know, get them goddamn magnifying glass.
Well, Triple H obviously was not long for WCW. Kind of Alex Wright's kind of the only real feud. I know, obviously, that's where he got a relationship with Regal. Regal helped him a lot. Obviously, Regal and him were kind of joined at the hip with that, like, Blue Bloods-esque gimmick. Do you think you wanted him to stay longer? Because it seemed like, because of maybe the Kowalski influence, he wanted to go to WWF, it seemed like, pretty badly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who wouldn't? I mean, Kowalski, you know, he grew up on WWF TV. Who wouldn't want to be up there? Who wouldn't want your family and friends to see you on that TV? I mean, he was a good-looking guy, was learning really how to draw money. And then he went up to a sweet position. You know, can't keep them down on the farm once they see the lights of Paris. You know?
If you look at what's going on with him and him going to WWF, it seemed like he's a Northeast guy. He was destined for WWF. He always said that that's where he wanted to go because he wanted to create the character. He said with WCW, he could learn how to work and wrestle. So he wanted to go there first and kind of learn that side. But WWF, he wanted to go learn to become a character and really learn his craft as far as the sports entertainment aspect. Do you agree with that assertion from Triple H?
Well, if that's what he said, of course I agree with this. Why would he say it if it wasn't true?
It just seems like that's like kind of obvious though when he says that, but some people disagree. But I feel like yes, you go to WWE, you probably learn how to work. WWF was like the king, or Vince is the king of like bringing a character out of the guy, really making everything you do important as far as the character is concerned.
So let me ask you this: who are the people that disagree? I mean, do they know Hunter? Did he tell them that?
Oh, these are just internet trolls, I'm sure. Internet marks.
Okay, yeah. So I mean, this is again. I mean, this is like the political field today. You know what I mean? We're so divided, and people come up with these absurd conspiracy theories. You know, the birds are all robots. You've heard that one?
Yeah, that's a weird one. Yeah, a little nutty, a little too nutty for me.
Biden's a robot?
Yes, I've heard that one. Yep.
I mean, you'd make a robot that could walk and talk, wouldn't you?
yes, true.
Okay, so how do they come up with this shit? I mean,
but with Triple H, though, I do feel like he was just destined for WWF, just in general, just because he's a Northeast guy and Kowalski. I always felt like he was kind of going to end up there anyway.
You're absolutely right. That's the bottom line. He wants people. He grew up watching WWF. He was trained by Kowalski, who was a big star there. Wrestled Bruno hundreds of times. One of the only guys that Bruno ever put over in the middle of the ring. Up in Montreal or Toronto, I think it was Montreal. I mean, their TV came into, not only did WWF's TV come into New Hampshire, and I know about this because my brother lives in New Hampshire. The Montreal TV, they ran Vermont and a couple of towns in New Hampshire. So Paul knew what Kowalski was. So I hate these people that say, well, that's why. He did. That is why he went. If he says that's why he went, that's the truth.
What do you think about him in WWF in general when he first gets there? And, you know, he's kind of with the clique, he's associating with them, but he's doing the hog pen matches with Henry Godwin. Like, they're not doing much with him to start. What did you think about his first foray in WWF?
Well, did you think they were going to put him on top?
I'm sorry, what?
Did you think they were going to put him on top when he first got there?
No.
Okay, so what did you think they were going to do with him?
You got to build him up. You got to create the character. Obviously, Hunter Hearst Helmsley is going to be the gimmick. He's going to be a new character. So you got to you got to build him up slowly, but you got to, you know, give him the character.
Yeah, and you got to learn the character. So you start in the middle. At least he was in a program. Do you know what I mean? Whether good, bad, or indifferent, he's learning the character. And putting him with the hog pen thing is good for his character because he's this stately, sophisticated guy, right?
Yep.
And then if you put him with a hillbilly that has a fucking hog farm.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. The perfect foil, if you will.
Yeah, but you don't see that booking coming from Hunter in today's day and age.
Right. And it's funny, people make fun of the hog pen match and stuff, but Triple H was like winning most of these matches in this feud, you know. So he wasn't necessarily, I know people like to say he was getting buried, but not really. It was just kind of par for the course back then for WWF. But they're building him up for sure. They were giving him a little bit of a push at first.
Yeah, and people forget. Different eras, different things go over. At that time, the WWE was really overloaded with people's characters that were jobs. The repo man, the plumber, the IRS agent. I mean, shit that was so far removed from wrestling. You know, you couldn't get away from it, and you were hogtied to that gimmick. But Hunter's one of the few that broke out of it. How many years has it been since they've called him Hunter Hearst Helmsley?
Right. It's been a while. He kind of smartly, because when he originally got there, they were thinking about naming him as something like Reginald DuPont Helmsley or some like corny name. And he said, no, let's make it three letters together because that would make more sense and easier to say and easier to hate me. Hunter Hearst Helmsley, like it just sounds better. So then you obviously Triple H and even Jim Ross, the commentary used to call him Triple H. And it kind of just stuck like that. And he became Triple H, which is, you know, obviously what everybody calls him today, Papa H or Triple H.
And do you know that? Helmsley, why they chose Helmsley?
I think because of the, it sounds like rich and it sounds like
it is rich. The woman that they put in prison for owning what's the big hotel where Harry's Bar is? The Ritz?
Oh, okay. I never even really thought, I thought it just sounds rich. I didn't realize no. It's actually a person, yeah.
Yeah, and the other one was the guy that was the heir to AP&P. Do you remember those grocery stores?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Was Helmsley.
Oh, okay. I mean, it fits. I mean, it makes sense. It does.
Yeah, so people, especially in the Northeast, would know that name. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
So with that, but just as far as him and the hog, if you will, Henry Godwin, then he feuds with Duke the Dumpster Drosy. So nothing huge. You're not really pushing him on the card. And obviously when he goes to WrestleMania 12, his first WrestleMania, he wrestles on Ultimate Warrior and Ultimate Warrior's return match. And as the old story goes, they thought it was going 10 minutes. Warrior goes, nah, let's just basically go 5 minutes or not even like, let's go less than 2 minutes. You're right. Yeah. It's like, okay, you're going to hit your finish. I'm going to kick out and then I'm going to squash you and hit my finish. And it's over. So it's a real short match and Warrior squashes him at Mania. Obviously it doesn't hurt him in the long run, but at when it happened, were you thinking like, whoa, what the hell? Warrior just returned back and just squashed one of the young talents here in WWF.
What would you do? Warrior's returning. He's the guy beat Hogan. You know his limitations. As a worker, is he going to go 15 minutes with the kid?
No, definitely not.
Is WrestleMania to show at that period, it wasn't to show the best talent or the best young talent. It was to reinforce superheroes, correct?
Yes.
So what would you do?
At that point, to be honest, it kind of made sense. Like, we got to make Warrior look good, right? And
absolutely. It's first day back.
And Triple H can recover, you know, eventually.
Yeah, yeah.
So then the click thing happens at Madison Square Garden, the curtain call, if you will. Triple H, Razor Ramon, Diesel, Shawn Michaels. Michaels is the champ. He's staying there. And obviously Diesel and Hall are going to, and Scott Hall and Kevin X, excuse me, are going to become your property. They're going to be WCW guys. So Triple H is said to become the guy that's kind of the guy who's going to get the heat. And infamously, Vince said to him, you're going to, you know, eat shit and like it, pal. And you're not going to get a push. And you were supposed to win the King of the Ring, but now we're going to let Steve Austin win the King of the Ring. So he did get a little bit of a deep push after that, after the curtain call. Do you feel like that was fair that that happened? Because they're not going to do anything to Michaels. And obviously Hall and Nash are gone. Do you think that was fair?
Fair. Madison Square Garden.
Broke kayfabe. The curtain call, they broke kayfabe.
That's what I'm saying. They're lucky they didn't get fired. Different time and different era.
And it's crazy if you think about it. He supposedly was going to win King of the Ring 96, so they canceled that, and then Austin wins. Thank God that happened, because then we got Austin 316, yeah. and you got the real guy who changed the business, the real top draw of the Attitude Era. You know what I mean? Like, thank God that that happened the way it did.
Yeah, and, you know, what else would you have done? And here's the other thing that nobody brings up. Don't you think that when Kevin and Scott showed up, it strengthened WCW because they weren't phonies?
Big time.
There might have been a little method to that madness, my friend.
Yes, yes, yes. I agree. Totally agree. But it's funny. People say Triple H got, you know, he got de-pushed. Not for long, because, okay, he doesn't win King of the Ring, which turns out to be a good thing. But by October, he's managed by Mr. Perfect, and he's the Intercontinental Champion. So it's not like he's totally, you know, getting destroyed here. He was getting back to where he should have been in Intercontinental title run, getting a push and building towards the main event kind of thing. So I felt like that didn't last long, him getting the quote unquote deep push and eating shit and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was the low guy on the totem pole and took the heat, and maybe that he took it and kept his mouth shut. They saw something in him too.
And, like, you go forward, okay, so he starts feuding Rocky Maivia, loses the IC title, but then basically he's going to be Goldust at WrestleMania. Like, kind of like on and off in the mid-card, upper mid-card, and getting a decent push forward. Then they bring in China to pair him with him as his bodyguard. Like, they tried Mr. Hughes. They did different things kind of very generically. But he said, no, let's bring in China to do something different. And that definitely helped him, right? I mean, China, no doubt about, helped Triple H.
I would think so, yes. I would think so, for sure.
She's different. She has a cool look.
Right.
She's, you know, a female, but she's a bodybuilder. Definitely is one of those smart decisions by WWE to not do the generic thing and give him Mr. Hughes as the bodyguard or somebody. I mean, to go completely different, I think, helped Triple H.
Yeah, I do too.
Then eventually, with China, with Shawn Michaels, with Rick Rude, they create D-Generation X, which you could say, obviously, is a NWO ripoff in their own way, more like an immature version of the NWO, right? You would say that DX was?
That was a good analogy, a mature version, yeah.
Did you think, like, oh, this is ripping us off, or did you not really pay attention or care about D-Generation X and what they were doing?
I thought they were very entertaining. For the time, I thought they were very entertaining, but they weren't the NWO. It was an outside entity trying to destroy WWF.
Do you think that Michaels and Triple H, and obviously they were part of the clique together, they're good friends, obviously took care of each other, but best friends, you know, at points in their career. Do you think that elevates Triple H to be associated with Shawn Michaels at this point? Is that exactly what they're going for, given a little bit of the rub?
Absolutely, to give it a word up. I mean, wasn't at that time Shawn looked upon as the greatest performer in the business?
Pretty much, yeah. The icon that could still go, yep.
Yeah, yeah. So him being with Shawn gave Hunter a rub.
During that time period, obviously, Michaels will end up leaving after the quote-unquote back injury and losing to Steve Austin at WrestleMania 14. Then you have Triple H creating his own D-Generation X with the Road Dogg, Billy Gunn, China, and X-Pac, who was fresh off being six of the NWO. So another person that's definitely helping out Triple H along the way is Sean Waltman, a.k.a. X-Pac, because he gave DX legitimacy now that Michaels is gone. Hey, you got an ex-NWO guy, part of your group. So made him legitimate right away to me.
He's in two Hall of Fames. He's the only guy that's been in two groups, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's been in the Hall of Fame.
Gotta love
it. Am I right?
Yeah, gotta love that. So DX becomes solidified, but then who are they going to feud with? They feud with The Rock again and the Nation of Domination. So it seemed like The Rock and Triple H, again, destined to feud for a while. Like in 97, they feud again, feuding in 98. I mean, in 99, they just keep on feuding here with each other. Do you like the chemistry and the feuds between The Rock and Triple H, who is, it's very on record with so many guys, including themselves. They hated each other behind the scenes, but in the ring, they love working with each other.
Yeah. Yeah. That happens more frequently than you think.
Guys that don't get along behind but can wrestle.
Right.
Strange, because it always seemed like Rock and Triple H were on the same page. They had great chemistry. And then when you start hearing these reports and even them interviewing about themselves saying, yeah, we hated each other. You know, it was competition. And we just, you know, Triple H apparently was maybe sandbagging him a little bit creatively, and so was Shawn Michaels. I mean, you hear all these stories that they just hated each other behind the scenes.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, that happens. It's very competitive.
Eventually, of course, Triple H would end up winning the world title the day after SummerSlam 99. So he beats Mick Foley, who became the champion the night before by pinning Steve Austin in a three-way. He eventually becomes the WWF champion. Do you think that that is a good way? Like, he wins it on Raw and he beats Mankind, but he doesn't beat Austin the night before. Do you think that was a great way to give him the world title? Because it felt, it felt like it was a little bit weak. Like, he just wins it the next night on Raw. He didn't beat Steve Austin. He's beating Foley, who was kind of just the in-between champion at that point.
I don't think they wanted to beat Austin. That's why it was a three-way. I actually like three-ways occasionally, but not for the title. Being a guy that's not the champion, it doesn't make sense to me.
And it's funny, he loses the title to Vince. I don't know if you remember that. Vince actually won the title for a week, and then he put it up at the Unforgiven six-pack challenge. Triple H wins it back. But yeah, Vince McMahon was the champion for about a week there.
Yeah, I remember that.
Weird times. I know people always joke around and say, like, oh, the bad champion. Vince is, I know he was the most over guy, but it's kind of funny. It's like, really, Vince was the champ? What the hell? Albeit only for a week.
Yeah.
So, of course, the McMahon-Helmsley era is in full steam with Stephanie being paired to Triple H. They became love interests behind the scenes as well, which I think it's very well documented. Do you think that also led to the push, or do you think he deserved the push?
Oh, he definitely deserved the push. I think it was inconsequential that him and Stephanie hooked up. I mean, the Helmsley era, when he was wrestling, was a great era, and now we're seeing this. It's incredible.
Do you think that had he not married Stephanie, had they not got together? I mean, obviously, we're talking about behind the scenes, and there are a couple on screen too, but do you think that he would have been in the position he was in, or do you think that it was a lot of politics involved as far as his push throughout the years?
He's a very smart guy. We wouldn't be seeing this if he didn't deserve it. So that's why I said it was inconsequential that he married Stephanie. He's a brilliant, brilliant guy. He was a great performer. We'd still be in the Hunter era if he married a scarecrow.
You had a Mick Foley feud, obviously, too. Royal Rumble 2000 was a great match. They end up fighting also in the big Hell in a Cell match at No Way Out, where Triple H quote unquote ends his career. Do you think Foley is a lot to be, because they did have a feud too in 97. They had a great feud where he was Mankind, then he was Dude Love, then he was Cactus Jack at one point, and Triple H was feuding with him all the way through. Do you think that Foley can be also be attributed to why Triple H got over so much? I mean, every step of the way, it seems like throughout his journey, Foley's there.
Yeah, absolutely. Mick is one of the greatest of all times. Yep.
Would you put Rock and Foley as maybe his two best rivals?
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely the guys he worked the most, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Now, Cornette always says, he's the champ, right? I mean, he even wins at WrestleMania 2000. In that four-way, he ends up pinning Rock to end it, thanks to Vince. Do you think that WrestleMania, and obviously we've seen a big change, but years before we never saw this, babyface has always won WrestleMania main event. Triple H changed that up. Do you think that's the way it should be? Do a little bit of storytelling, or should the babyface always win at WrestleMania? Because WrestleMania 2000, Triple H is the heel, and he ends up ending the show as the champ.
How do you continue the story if people go home happy?
you got to be good creatively to do it. You're right.
But let me ask you this. Did Muhammad Ali draw a lot of money?
Oh, yeah.
He was a heel.
Yes.
Was Mike Tyson a heel?
Big time, yeah.
Were the Patriots heels?
Yes, especially after they started winning.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Were the Yankees heels?
Yep.
You got to get heat. It's this simple, JP. It's this simple. You and I are in a car. We're driving down the street here in Florida. We go by Oakland Park. And there's a couple of people sitting having a picnic. Are we going to stop to look at them?
Yeah, no. True.
No.
Well, no, I mean, no, but yeah.
Yeah. True. But if we're driving down the same street by the same park and there's a fist fight going on, we're going to pull over and watch it?
Yes. Yep.
So what's the difference? Heat? Of course. Yeah. Of course.
The thing is with him is he was never, quote unquote, the guy. I mean, he's the heel working with the guy who was Austin at one point, and they did have a feud. He was the heel working with The Rock, who's the guy. Do you think that? Because Cornette always says that he was the guy that worked with the guy. You don't necessarily have to be the guy, but he's saying he was never the guy. I kind of agree with, well, I, not kind of, I definitely agree with Cornette's assessment.
Well, if he wasn't the guy, he was damn close, and that's good enough for me. That when you write down the guy's name, the first name that comes up is Hunter. That says, if he ain't the guy, it's close enough for me.
With him, obviously, he had many good WrestleMania matches and WrestleMania moments. The Undertaker match, WrestleMania 17, is great. But when he wrestles Chris Jericho, WrestleMania 18, after his injury, he comes back. That's one of those things where apparently he kind of petitioned, like, hey, this is the undisputed title. I should be in the main event against Jericho. Now, I just saw an interview with him where he goes, oh, no, Rock versus Hogan should have been the main event. Changing his tune now because, you know, in hindsight, obviously he was dead wrong that they shouldn't have. Right. Do you think that sometimes his, you know, him thinking, oh, I should be the main event, sometimes you need to move over to the side when you have a bigger match? Do you think that that's the way it goes? Or do you think the title should always be like, was he right at the time saying, oh, we're wrestling for the title, it should be the main event?
Yeah. The title is the main event. I don't
even over Rock Hogan.
What's the most important thing in any sport? Winning the title.
That night, though, that crowd could have cared less about Triple H. It was all about Rock and Hogan.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Hogan and Rock were the main event. It didn't matter what came afterwards. They were leaving the building.
Yeah, literally, and people did leave after the match.
Yeah, that's what I'm
even
saying.
Even those 2 minutes on after them. Yep.
Right.
So I'm meaning to say that it just feels like Triple H as a heel worked a lot better than Triple H as a face. For whatever reason, I feel like he just got over. Do you think he's just more of a natural heel?
Yeah, without question. He's a big guy. He's a good-looking guy. He's a cocky guy. He's a better heel than babyface.
Because eventually he starts up Evolution with Orton, Batista, and Flair, and he becomes like the Ric Flair, kind of the leader of the Four Horsemen. And I feel like that fit him. Like, that seemed like that was him to a T. I feel like that was kind of more fitting for him.
Right. But, you know, he had been there a long time. He'd become the wise sage, so he was good for that. Hey, Pete, can we wind this up a little? I got to...
Yeah.
Something. Okay.
So Triple H obviously would be known of, you know, burying some guys, if you will, throughout his career, but he would always kind of be near or at the top of the card in his run, whether he feuded with Scott Steiner or Goldberg or Booker T or Shawn Michaels again with a big feud, Chris Benoit, Chris Jericho. He was always at the top of the card. Do you think that that's like worthy, or he should have always been at the top of the card, whether, you know, maybe feuding with the Undertaker again for the rest of
Absolutely.
Deserving. You're saying deserving?
Yeah, absolutely. He matched up with those guys incredibly well. He looked like an athlete. He performed great. And like I said, his name was always across as Jimmy Cornette says, the guy. Well, if he ain't the guy, he's damn close, and he deserves all the accolades he got. And now, especially, we all should be thanking him for what he's produced.
Do you think that a guy, I know obviously you were a booker and you were on top in several different territories. Do you think him, the fact that he was on top as a wrestler, that actually helps you book? Or do you think that's not necessarily a prerequisite of being a booker?
It's not a prerequisite, but it does help. It does help, without question.
Now, he has done a lot of main events, like even WrestleMania 32, WrestleMania main evented against Roman Reigns. He's had a lot of WrestleMania main events. I believe it's six or seven, to my knowledge and my count. Roman Reigns is going to pass him. And obviously, Hogan is the all-time leader of WrestleMania main events.
The all-time leader is Roman Reigns right now.
It's going to be, yeah, yep.
No, it is now. He's seven.
No, Hogan had eight main events.
Huh. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so he'll tie them on. Okay. I don't count night one as a main event, but WWE does. So they'll count it. Yeah. He'll say eight on that. And when he does Cody Rhodes, that's nine.
Okay.
So then he beats Hogan. So he's number one. But are you surprised Triple H is in that category? Because he's not the quote unquote the man. Austin was the man. Hogan was the man. Like, you know what I mean? Are you surprised he had that many main events?
Yeah, he wrestled the man. I mean, to me, he was one of the guys. He was one of the guys. That's like saying Shawn Michaels wasn't the man. A guy that's that good of a performer is the man.
When you look at his run, I mean, it's unbelievable and it's impressive just what he was able to do in the ring, main event all those WrestleManias, be a top star for them for basically 20 years plus. I mean, he was basically on top of the WWE. What's his legacy, though?
It's going to end up being one of the smartest guys in the history of the business.
Do you think that he's one of the all-time greats in the ring, wrestling?
Yes, yes. How many WrestleManias did you say?
I think it's seven, if I'm counting that correctly, if I'm remembering correctly.
He didn't get there because he didn't draw.
What about... I know you're saying great booker's doing a great job. When it's all said and done, I mean, because right, you gotta do it for more than just have it pop the business for a few years, right? You gotta have a longer run as a booker. So, what do you think is going to be end all be all of him as a booker? Because you know, your run with WCW was great. Heyman was a great booker. Where are you going to rank him in the pantheon?
When it's all said and done, I believe he'll be the greatest of all times.
Wow, high praise from the Booker man. High praise.
Yep.
Now let's wrap this bad boy up and head towards the plugs. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Kevin, what is going on in your crazy world?
I'm going to Philly, WrestleMania, and I'm also working for Feinberg, our boy there, Rob Feinberg, and I'm going out to Minneapolis for a convention the following week. So I got a busy week, my friend.
Nice. Good stuff. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. Thank you, Kevin. We'll see you right back here next time. Have a good one, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron, and also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother. College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
We loved the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and the family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.